Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines. Great to be with you on a Saturday afternoon in the great state of Texas. If my voice sounds a little raspy, it's been an exciting week of football at the Sines household, if you will. I guess Sunday was last week. Not trying to rub it in, Notre Dame fans. Okay, the few of you that are probably listening to this show, considering we are broadcasting in Central Texas, obviously across the World Wide Web. But my voice has been struggling since last Sunday night after a thrilling victory by my alma mater, the University of Texas Longhorns. But then earlier this, or later in the week, if you will, my boys had their first flag football game. And so I'm helping coach the team. I'm not the head coach. We have a coach at my children's school, but I help out. And so so the coach somewhat lost his voice, so I had to come in with reinforcements. But Jonathan and Jonas Sines had a fantastic game, and this was their first game playing together. So their father, myself, I was yelling quite a bit, or I was being very excited about the plays in the game and the outcome. So bear with me. I will do the best I can. But, you know, a really important weekend of reflection. Obviously, last weekend was Labor Day, and we think a lot about the things that have happened in our country and, you know, honoring just the work ethic and, to some extent, sacrifice and things of those nature and the liberties we have in our country. But, obviously, tomorrow is 9/11. And for really, you think about the younger generation, if you will. I'm 43. I mean, you know, call it whatever you want. I mean, that my adulthood, probably one of the most moments that we'll all remember is 9/11 in 2001. It's been 15 years. And, you know, if you think about it, I grew up in the city of Houston, and there was the Challenger shuttle explosion. And I was a child at the time, or I don't know, maybe 12, 13 years old. So I remember that quite a bit, and that's something that that I'll always remember. And I think people across the country, but I think certainly the 9/11 attacks, for a lot of different reasons, is probably something that's harder for it to forget, and something people remember even more so for a lot of reasons. But then obviously for me, being an adult at the time, I remember quite a bit about that day. And something that, well, I just encourage you, if you're not already thinking about it, to take a moment maybe with your family. I know I'm going to do that with my children who were not born at the time. Talk a little bit about that day, the significance of it, and how we have moved forward since then. And really in a lot of ways in America, how things have changed when it comes to issues of security and so on. And so, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention was, you know, in the work that we do in faith, family, and freedom, we get involved in a lot of aspects, legal, legislative, media, policy. And one of those areas is the State Board of Education. And a number of years ago, they were updating their textbooks, new things happen in history and so on. And so they'll kind of maybe bring in some new information that's relevant. And it was the first time they were going to be including references to September 11th of 2001. And one of the things and I was a part of testifying and mobilizing people to go to the Texas State Board of Education and express their support for coverage of September 11th. Even though hasn't happened a long time ago, it's still something that our elementary school children like mine, they weren't born at the time. I mean, it is history before they were born, and it's important. One of the things that we were a part of and that I helped support was not only the discussion of 9/11, but the inclusion of the name Todd Beamer. Don't know if you remember that name and remember some of the occurrences that happened related to Todd Beamer on that day on 9/11. And so you can, I'm sure, go and look at some information online or in books where they're talking about it. But Todd Beamer was aboard Flight 93, and that was one of the planes that was rumored to be headed in towards the White House or possibly other buildings. But there was a lot of talk and discussion that it was headed towards the White House or the Capitol. And I don't hold me to the specific facts if you are a fact checker out there, but the gist of it was he was on the plane at the time, and you know, some people were getting text messages or they were getting phone calls. There were a lot of reports going on that of what had happened at the World Trade Center and also at the Pentagon. And so some of the people on the plane were aware that there was this there was an attack on America, and all the planes had been grounded. They weren't allowed to take off, and the ones that were in the air were ordered to land. And I'm not sure that Flight 93 was the only one still up in the air, but it was one up in the air, and it was headed towards the D.C. area. So here's Todd Beamer, younger than myself. I think he was in his 30s. But he and a group of people got together, and from what we know, there were terrorists aboard that plane that were going to lead it towards the White House or possibly the Capitol. They banded together and they stood up to these terrorists and they took them down. And we're, you know, it's hard to say exactly. I'm not sure exactly how the circumstances led, but the plane ended up going down. And there's, you know, the belief that they took on the terrorist and led the plane down to crash somewhere away from any high population area. I'm trying to remember exactly where it was that the plane went down, if it was somewhere close to Pennsylvania. If you think about it, that's something to remember this weekend. That's something to remember, the sacrifice and the timeliness of people to understand, to put country above themselves in that moment, to know what could have happened if that's in fact where that plane was headed. It's something to think about this weekend. You know, there's been a lot of talk about standing for the national anthem and the flag, and I'm not going to get into all those details of how people feel about some of the things that are going on. I have my personal opinion, but above all of that, there is a lot for people to think about when it comes to the type of principles and character of Americans that we see and we've seen time and again. And put yourself on that plane for just a minute, right? And think, would I have done that? Would I have let fear overtake me, or would I have, you know, prayed for a different outcome, or, you know, what would you have done? But we know what, to a large extent, what happened, that Todd Beamer and others stood up to the terrorists, and that plane went down in a field somewhere in a remote area, I believe in Pennsylvania, and everyone died on the plane. And I think, you know, you have to think they knew that was it. You hear what was reported by some people, some family members and others, was the commotion on the plane. And in the words, let's roll. That's what they heard last. And that's when the Americans on the plane banded together and stood up to the terrorists and put the country, the safety, national security, the president potentially, or all those people that would have been at the White House, ahead of themselves, knowing the importance of that. And you have to think, understanding the value of sacrifice in that moment in a greater good. That is something, regardless of what differences that we can have sometimes, you know, and that's biblical, right? To have that type of love of laying down your life for your brother, for your fellow friends. And so, sorry to get a little passionate and emotional with you, but just think about that this weekend. It was very much on our minds that day. And I can remember that. I can remember driving to law school that morning and just thinking, wow, this doesn't seem right. Please, you know, I was thinking in my head, please tell me this is not this isn't an attack. It just seemed so hard to believe that it could have been chance when two planes flew into the World Trade Center. But that was the case. It was an attack, something that we'll never forget. And I just wanted to reflect on that for a minute about the textbook issue, because all the work that I do, I'm proud of. But there are certain things that sometimes, you know, they'll stand out a little bit more. And you think you get a sliver of an opportunity to honor someone else. And that's what we did that day and that year when we made sure that Todd Beamer was included in discussions and teaching on Texas history along with 9/11. And so give that some thought this weekend and share that with your family. And if you remember those days, and you can talk about that, and hopefully some good lessons to learn as you know, we travel. I try to remind myself that when I go through the airport, I get frustrated, but I understand things have changed, and ultimately people are looking out for our security, and that's how we've had to adapt. But, you know, some of the challenges like that we face have not changed. We've seen more attacks. We've seen more struggles, and we've seen more opportunities for us to be divided at times. And there's always got to be room in the First Amendment and in our country for debate and discussion and differences of opinion. And so it's great, though, when you see those moments when we're united together and those American ideals shine through. A lot has been going on this week, too. There's a great article we have posted on our Facebook page from National Review, from our Texas Attorney General. This week, we've had members of our team up in Washington, D.C. for the Value Voter Summit, which is put on by Family Research Council. Tony Perkins leads that group. He's been on a guest on our show several times. I know you've had the pleasure of hearing him. And it really is about educating people about the issues, about elections, the people that are running, and why it matters. Why it matters to get involved. I mean, we're less than 60 days away, or it's about 60 days. I'm going to try to do the math on election day, but we're about 60 days out. And so it's, we're getting real close to when we're going to know who the next president of the United States is. November 8th is election day. And so we're just inside of, or right about 60 days. So there's a website you can go to that we put up. It's called freevotersguide.com, and you can get good information there about the elected officials. And it's not just about the presidency. I mean, a lot of attention on that, Trump versus Hillary, whether you think you're going to write somebody in or there's a third party candidate. I think at the end of the day, I mean, it is a choice between Trump and Hillary. I don't think there's any statistical chance of anyone else coming close to 50%. And I don't want to diminish your efforts or your opinion. I'm just trying to state factually what the case is. I understand people feel a sense of conscience to not select Hillary or Trump. But at the end of the day, it's going to be either Trump or Hillary. There's not as if there's going to be a third party that's going to rise to get 50%. I mean, look, something crazy could happen before the election that I'm not aware of. But as things stand today, that really, I think, by and large, and I'm not saying you can't choose, you can only choose those two, but there's only two candidates that I believe at this point statistically have a chance of winning, one or the other. But it's not just about the top of the ticket. There are so many races at the state level and the federal level. You know, what's interesting about a presidential year for Texas is, and I'm just stating facts to you, you know, whether you support one party or not, the majority of the state elects Republicans to the Texas House and the Texas Senate, and at the congressional level, both of our U.S. senators are Republican. So in a presidential year, there's usually a higher turnout for Democrats. And so you see some seats at the House and sometimes at the Senate level, but mainly at the House, Texas House, where they can go one way or another. So in a presidential year, Democrats have somebody at the top of the ticket that they're passionate about, and so they a lot of times will get out more. And it's just because people are aware of Election Day more. during a presidential year because there's so much coverage. So in 2 years, we'll vote on governor again. We'll vote on lieutenant governor. We did that 2 years ago, and it was 60-40 really across the state, Republicans versus Democrat. That number is going to be different, though, and it always typically is in a presidential year. More people know about it for whatever reason. More Democrats vote, maybe less Republicans, but it changes for whatever reason. So because of that, there are a lot of races down the ballot, if you will, at the state level that could go one way or another, and it's not always that case when it's not a presidential year. I just say that as another reason for you to understand how important it is to make your voice heard at the ballot box and to vote. If you go to freevotersguide.com, it's a website we have where you can get information on the elected officials. And so the people you probably – maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't heard of, but those seats are important. You know, you've heard us talk a lot about the issues of religious liberty, about privacy and safety and bathrooms and locker rooms and all those things. Those decisions – about legislation on those issues are going to be decided by the Texas House and Senate, not the President of the United States. Obviously, Obama has had an impact on that issue at the President. So I'm not suggesting they won't be engaged in some effort one way or another. But as it pertains to state law in Texas, that's going to be decided by the Texas House and the Texas Senate. You get to cast a vote for every Texas House member there on the ballot. Okay, so no matter where you live, there is a House member in your district or you live in a House district at the state level that you're going to be voting on. I don't have the ballot in front of me there, so I'm not sure if there might be a few races where there's no opponent. I think it's pretty rare, even if they don't have much of a chance, even if it's just, you know, a Libertarian or a third party that a lot of people don't think is going to get a lot of support. They're on the ballot and an election for their seat will be decided by all 150 Texas House members. The Senate seats are every 4 years, so not all of them are on the ballot. But whether or not you send a Texas House member to the Texas Capitol, and that starts in January, when all that process starts, bills get filed, can start getting filed before January, but all that process of going through legislative efforts and all that starts in January. Those issues are made and decided by who's in the Texas House. So if you're all fired up about voting at the presidential, great. If you want to just pack it up and say you've had enough with politics because of some of the rhetoric at the top and you're not going to vote at all, that causes me some concern, and it should cause all of us some concern. There is a reason for you to go to the ballot box. There's one reason out there. So find out what that is and make sure that you do that. Look, I'm not going to try to, you know, shame you or guilt you into this. But when you think about 9/11, okay, when you think about Flight 93 and Todd Beamer and the World Trade Centers, and you think about the sacrifices people have made for you, for America, for our ideals and principles, the freedom to vote is one of them. It is one of the most important ones. So let that be some motivation for you. You know, and oftentimes you'll have people, they're like, oh, I don't know who to vote for. I'm going to make the wrong decision. Go to freevotersguide.com. Okay, we're going to have all that information up there for you. So it's all going to be there. You'll have that information. You can share that at your church. You don't have to tell people to vote for it, but you can share that website just so people know there's somewhere for them to go, and then they can look at it on their own and decide. We've got a flyer if you want to come by our office at 900 Congress that's printed out. You want to hand it out at your church, your community group, your school, wherever. And I think we've got a way, or we're going to have a way on the website where you can download it and print it yourself. And you can share it electronically. You know, you can go in the ballot box with your smartphone and look at who to vote for. I mean, that's pretty easy, right? You don't have to take a printout. Just go in there, log into freevotersguide.com, Or take a screenshot if you already know who you're going to vote for so you're reminded and go in there. But if you need that, you can use your smartphone in the ballot box. We're in some ways a long way away from Election Day, so you're going to hear me talk a lot about Election Day, but you need to start thinking about it now. And so the deadline to register to vote's coming up soon if you haven't done that, if you've moved or for whatever reason you need to update that information. A very important decision was made by the Texas Supreme Court late last week as we were rolling into the Labor Day weekend. There has been a case that we have been working on. We don't work on very many cases. As a matter of fact, this is the only case that we filed in the past 2 years. A lot of times our friends at First Liberty and Alliance Defending Freedom, they primarily work on court cases. We let them handle that, and sometimes we'll work along with them on the case, but they initiate a lot of those efforts. And we'll either be a part of the legal team or we'll do a lot of messaging to keep people informed of what's happening on those issues. But there's a case at the Texas Supreme Court that it has been our case from the beginning and we've been involved in. And I'm one of the lead attorneys along with Jared Woodfill. The case is about protecting our state law and our Constitution as it relates to the issue of marriage. And it's not just about same-sex marriage or really about that specifically, even though it relates to that. It's about using tax dollars to give insurance benefits or things of that nature to people that are a partner of a same-sex couple. That is illegal in state law. Okay, the Supreme Court of the United States did not make a ruling about the use of taxpayer dollars related to same-sex benefits. They made a ruling regarding someone's freedom, if you will, to go to a clerk and ask for a marriage license. It's like the abortion issue, right? Roe versus Wade legalized and made, quote unquote, a right to an abortion. But the Supreme Court didn't rule that the state of Texas has to pay for those abortions with taxpayer dollars. And as a matter of fact, we don't allow that. So we won this case on same-sex benefits in 2014 before the Supreme Court ruled. We won a preliminary ruling, excuse me, because the mayor of Houston was violating state law and saying, you know what, I think this is where the law is going, so I'm going to go ahead and start giving people that have been married in other states of the same-sex benefits and insurance benefits the same as people that have been legally married in the state of Texas. Well, it was against the law then. Even after the Supreme Court ruled on the issue of marriage, the issues of benefits happened before the Supreme Court ruled and the law had changed was clearly illegal. And it continues to be illegal afterwards because we have state laws that prevent that. So we won at the trial court, and then the other side appealed, the city of Houston. You remember Mayor Anise Parker? She's the one that subpoenaed the pastor sermons and all that. She's no longer in office. She lost the battle of the bathroom issue. She tried to allow men into women's bathrooms, got exposed on that, and then lost at the ballot on her signature issue, 6139. Wasn't even close. Okay, so you know about her judgment, just to give you some background. So they appealed the case, the city of Houston did, and they won after the Supreme Court ruled on the marriage issue last summer. We were probably going to win at the appellate level until that decision came down, but that had nothing to do with what happened pre the marriage ruling. So we appealed to the Texas Supreme Court and wanted to make it clear that there's nothing in the U.S. Supreme Court decision that says that taxpayer dollars have to be used for same-sex benefits. So the Supreme Court didn't even hear the case, refused to even give us a hearing. So you have 9 Republicans on the Texas Supreme Court. Many would think support marriage between a man and a woman and support the rule of law, upholding our statute that says that you can't give benefits based on a same-sex couple. That law was not struck down. And yet they refused to even have a hearing on the case, not even rule, but they wouldn't even hear it. They wouldn't even review it. They wouldn't have a hearing on it. Denied a review by – now, there was one judge, Justice John Devine, who wrote a dissenting opinion, and there's an article on our website, txvalues.org. You can see that. That case isn't over. But that – you've got to be very concerned about an all-Republican Texas Supreme Court when that type of decision or that type of ruling comes down. We're about out of time. A lot happening across the state. Everybody's getting settled into school, but these issues in school are not over. Stay engaged. Go to our website, txvalues.org. If you've never made a financial investment in our work, and I think it's one of the best investments you can make, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our budget is well over $700,000. We have full-time staff. We have a presence in Austin, at the Capitol, statewide. You could hardly get any better exposure and coverage of our issues than our group does. Go to txvalues.org. Make a tax-deductible donation today. TXValues.org, where we stand for faith, family, and freedom in Texas.